ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुः श्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदम् माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्व निराकरणम् मे अस्तु। तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्माः ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ शान्ति 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 हरिः। ॐ ॐ मे मै लिम्स् स्पीच् वैटल् फोर्स् ऐस् इयर्स् एस् आल्सो स्ट्रेन्थ् अण्ड् आल् दि आर्गन्स् बिकम् वेल् डेवलप्ड्। Everything is the Brahman revealed in the Upanishads. May I not deny Brahman? May not Brahman deny me? Let there be no spurning of me by Brahman. Let there be no rejection of Brahman by me. May all the virtues that are spoken of in the Upanishads repose in me, who am engaged in the pursuit of the Self. May they repose in me. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. So we are studying the story of Upakosala. We just started the 15th section, wherein the teacher, Satyakamajabala, having returned from a pilgrimage, confronted Upakosala, recognized that he had been taught about some parts of Brahman, and he had succeeded in identifying himself with those specific deities, Adhishtatru Devatas. When, for example, we are talking about waters, we are not talking, the Upanishad is not talking about waters, it is talking about Apo Narayana, the Adhishtatru Devata, one of the five Devatas, because of whom we are able to survive the space, the air, fire, waters and earth. These are called the presiding deities. So, Upakosala had gradually identified as taught by the three fires, and his guru understood, and very well understood, because Satyakama himself had been taught and had become identified with this very same presiding deities, so he could recognize in his disciple. And that was the real purpose for which he did not allow Upakosala to return home like other disciples. From this story we have to guess he allowed samavartana, means allowing his pupils, now your education is complete and I am giving you final instructions how to lead a householder's life. So, samavartana means returning from the Gurukula to their respective homes, and usually people get married, and so he had given satyam vada, dharmam chara, swadhyayan ma pramadaha, etc. And we do not find them here, but we have to connect every guru like every university in this world, in our world, in every country, when students graduate, then they give, having dressed them in a very special way, they give them what is called convocation address. That is summarizing the experiences of senior professors, etc., or eminent people. This is how I lived my life, and this is how we also expect you to live your life. Now only we can understand. Now only perhaps Upakosala understood why his teacher had kept him, not because of lack of love, not because of negligence, not because of anything, but out of pure love, cognizing that his pupil is very apt to people and he would be able to succeed, progress in spiritual life. And then the friars, before parting from Upakosala, told him that the rest, there is something to be learned, much more than what we taught, and that would be imparted to you by your own teacher. And thereby, several purposes would be accomplished. One purpose would be what is called Guru Parampara system should never be disturbed. Maybe what the student had learned through his own inner intuitive vision may be all right, or maybe he is imagining, but it is only the teacher who would confirm. As we have seen in the case of Shukadeva, Janaka tested him for 7 days, absolutely no respect, no response. After 7 days, everybody, including the emperor Janaka, became as it were his bond slave. So, from the lowest state to the highest state. And Janaka was observing, watching, what would be the mental state of this Shukadeva. And he found, even for 1 millisecond, even in the slightest manner, his mind did not deviate from the thought of Brahman, from the vision of Brahman, from perceiving Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Then Janaka had confirmed, you are a true knower of God, Brahman. Not that a true knower of Brahman doesn't know, whether he still doubts, but this is to preserve the prestige, the value of this sampradaya, tradition. One should not go outside sampradaya. That's why restrict rules. One should never accept anybody who is coming from outside the tradition. Why do you think Sri Ramakrishna had to accept sannyasa? Because his own guru, even before imparting sannyasa, was shocked, surprised, that is it possible such a adhikari, sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikari, fittest pupil can be found in this tantra ridden Bengal, country called Bengal. He understood, he was a fit person, but even he did not understand that Sri Ramakrishna was not merely a fit person. He had experienced what Totapuri had experienced after 40 years of inhuman or superhuman tapasya, that he had long before the guru's very arrival, or even before other gurus arrived, like Bhairavi Brahmani, Govinda, etc. The Divine Mother had made him go through all the divine experiences, including Nirvikalp Samadhi. This was the statement of Sri Ramakrishna himself. My mother had showed me long before any of these gurus had come. Then we have to understand, why then did Sri Ramakrishna have to go again through the same rigmarole, but this time with the gurus? That is for our sake. For to be an example, we should always go through a teacher. The teacher not only teaches, but he would also confirm that this is the right way, especially for you, and you are progressing because he is an expert, like an expert mountain climber who becomes a mountaineering guide. So now Satyakama Jabala, he deliberately kept him because he knew the potentiality of his disciple Upakosala. Now only we understand why he did not reveal the truth. And had he, I'm just imagining, had Satyakama Jabala told, look here, Upakosala, you are a very fit person. I know that. So, I'm going on a pilgrimage, and when I come back, I will instruct you in everything. So do not worry. I have kept you only for this purpose. Then what would be Upakosala's reaction? We do not know. But maybe he would be jumping up and down with joy. My guru had certified me. I am absolutely insane. We do not know. But the very yearning for truth became so much. He was ready to give up his food. He was depressed, not mentally disturbed. But his yearning made him look like a madcap in the eyes of the other people. And he gave up his food. Sri Ramakrishna gave up his food. Every sadhaka might also do the same thing. So therefore we understand now all these things. But the Upanishad condenses all these ideas and thoughts in very, very short form. Then the doubt will come. How are we supposed to understand all these things? That is where GPS comes into action. So the guru, he knows. But I am talking about a guru who is a real spiritual experienced Brahmagnani. And he knows every step of the way because he himself had gone through and his own guru had made him go through and his own guru also had gone through the same way. That is called tradition. So Satyakama Jabala knew about it. In order to increase the yearning of his disciple, he, as if he neglected him totally, and it was what is called total pretense. But Upakosala had come out shining like the brilliant sun. And then, so we have to guess, Upakosala's mind was not worried. Why is my teacher insulting me? Why is he not imparting? And he imparted to others. That means definitely they are better. No, this made him think deeply. Why did my teacher not teach me? Am I lacking something? Am I not fit to receive? So he must have been contemplating these things. If anyone misunderstands after superficially studying this story that he was obsessed with mental depression, if anybody is suffering from mental depression, he would be like a dead, like a corpse. But on the contrary, Upakosala's longing for what he wanted to get was increasing by the minute. How do we know? Because he must have been praying intensely to the Divine Mother inside, please reveal to me. So that is what we see in the Isavasya Upanishad also, I think in the 15th or 16th mantra. So addressing the sun, so the Upasaka, he says that the door to the truth within you is covered up as it were, hiranmayena patrena satyasya apihitam mukham tat tvam pushan apavrunu satyadharmaya drishtaye. I am a satyadharma. Upakosala must have been praying, I am a practitioner of dharma and satya. I am ready now to receive the final knowledge. But as it were, there is some strong obstruction and the fires. In the form of the fires, his only guru, I mentioned in my last class. So instead of saying, my guru is Brahma, it would make far better sense to say that Brahma has come to me in the form of my guru. This way, the fires had become the teachers. And the teacher within Sri Ramakrishna so beautifully illustrates the Satchidananda is the same within everybody. So Upakosala became even more fit, and then the teacher returned and he had one look and so happy, joyous. My disciple is ready like myself. And then he said, my dear son, my dear child, I am so pleased with you. Now I will complete your instructions and they only taught you higher and higher stages of spiritual attainment, and I see that you attained there, all of them. Now, I will take you to the final goal. And then, we entered into that first mantra, that is called Akshi Purusha Upasana. Find out who is this. For that I quoted earlier, but I will go. Shrotrasya Shrotram Manaso Mano Yat Vachoha Vacham Savu Pranasya Pranaha Chakshushascha Chakshuhu Atimuchya Dhiraha Pretya Asmat Lokat Amrutaha Bhavanti. So this is what we got in the Kena Upanishad. So there, the teacher, who is none other than Uma herself, so that Brahman, that pure consciousness, is the ear of the ear, the mind of the mind, the tongue of the tongue, and also the life of the life, pranasya pranaha, and the eye of the eye, chakshushaha chakshuhu, real eye, real perceiver, real knower. Then Shankaracharya comments this ability of the ear to reveal its own object is possible only when the eternal, non-composite, all-pervading light of the self is there, but not otherwise. Hence the expression, ear of the ear, etc., is justifiable. What does Shankaracharya mean? He means, for example, the eye knows I am the eye, only because the consciousness behind it lights up the mind. Mind means understanding. Mind means thoughts. Thoughts means understanding. Understanding means knowledge. And that knowledge percolates to the eye. Yes, I am called the eye. I have the ability to see. I can objectify whatever I see. That awareness that I am the eye and this is my function. I am the ear. And this is my function to hear, and I am the nostril, and my function is the ability to distinguish between different odors, smells, and that is possible. Otherwise, the body will be unconscious. Body is nothing but 11 sense organs, 10 sense organs, 5 of action, 5 of knowledge, plus the mind. So, the body it will be like a dead body if we are not conscious. We see it every day in day-to-day life. And this is what exactly what Swami Vivekananda wants to highlight. The mind's role in perception. This is what Swamiji says. Even with intact instruments and organs, perception requires the mind to be attached to the organ. If the mind is detached or distracted, the sensation will not be registered. So, what is the reaction for this knowledge? Complete perception involves a reaction within. External sensations are processed by the mind and presented to the intellect called buddhi, which groups them with proper prior impressions and sends a reactive current leading to knowledge. Very beautiful expression. With prior impressions, suppose a person sees an animal for the first time. He had no experience of that animal. First time, only he is seeing it. Then knowledge will not occur. Why? Because he doesn't know what it is. But then you know what happens? Already a normal person looks at an animal. His mind already divided. This is not plant kingdom. This is not insect kingdom. This is not human kingdom. This is not bird kingdom. So this must be some animal-like. He knows a some sort of animal. But exactly which animal? That he doesn't know. All this we have dealt with once upon a time when we talked about six pramanas, the means by which knowledge is obtained. Pratyaksha, anumana, upamana, etc., etc. Finally, to obtain knowledge of the, what is called atindriya, beyond the sensory perceptions, like higher worlds, swargaloka, and life in such worlds, and the existence of God, existence of hell, heaven, all these things can be obtained only through shastra, scripture. Scripture is called Veda Pramana or Shabda Pramana. We covered it. I hope you will recollect it. So, Swami Vivekananda is telling, we must have some prior experience. So, for example, this person, first time he had seen, and he went and described it to somebody, and that somebody identified it and said, you know, it is a cow, for example. And from that onwards, that cow first time is called cognition. Second time when he beholds the same animal, this impression tallies with what he had before seen. And when both of these tally and the intellect confirms there is no difference, no, there is no shadow of doubt, this is the same animal, then that knowledge is produced. So accordingly, our reaction also starts. If a person had seen a tiger and then is a very dangerous animal, it can destroy a person, kill a person. So this person's reaction will differ. This is what Swamiji wants to tell them. First, the mind groups them, then segregates, and then tallies with past impressions, if any, and then there would be what is called a definitive piece of knowledge. So that is what he meant, that the mind groups these sensations with prior impressions and sends a reactive current leading to knowledge. This reaction is the will. Will means what do I do now with this, in this situation? And then he continues, even this process is not complete, so there is a need for a unchanging stationary perceiver soul. For perceptions to be unified and complete, there must be permanent motionless background upon which these impressions can be formed and gathered, similar to a stationary screen for a camera. I will give you a better example. Unless there is an unchanging screen, all the sights that are projected onto that screen by a projector, which we call a cinema, they will not be seen. If the screen itself is changing and it will not receive what the projector is trying to project upon that screen, and therefore we will not be able to experience anything. And so what is that unchanging, what is called object or subject, that is called Atman? Pure consciousness is the background. And that pure, upon that pure consciousness, we project all these impressions, and then something marvelous happens. That pure consciousness, now we call it, what do we call it? This is a tree. What is a tree? A bit of that consciousness separated from that unchanging consciousness. And strangely, this bit of consciousness, now it changes. It moves, as it were. It is stationary. Tad ejati, tad naijati, tad dure, tad vantike, tadu antarasya sarvasya, tadu sarvasya bahyataha. Isavasya Upanishad clarifies this. So, this unchanging factor provides identity and unity, not only to the object, but to ourselves, the perceiver himself, and it is our experience. So, the soul as the perceiver, this permanent motionless background upon which the mind and intellect project and group sensations into a unified whole is identified as the soul of man. Soul of man means, don't again mistake hand of a man, the head of a man, as if it is part of the, what is called, separate part of the body. No, 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 no. It is nothing but that one unified whole. The real nature of man is that unchanging, this one. And that is called consciousness. And that is also called jyoti. Now, every day we sing, in the very first hymn at Vesper service, Namo Namo Prabhu Vakya Mana Atita Jyoti Rajyoti Ujjvala Hridi Kandara. This is the Atman Satyakama is talking about and teaching to his beloved student Upakosala. So, having abandoned the sense of self or I-ness in these and rising above sense life, the wise become immortal. So this passage is interpreted to convey the taintlessness of the person dwelling in the eye. He is behind the eye, he is behind the nerve currents produced by the eye, he is behind the mind, he is behind the intellect, and that which illumines both the body and mind, and yet remains unchanged. That is the Atman. So, this is what he wants to say in the first mantra, in this 15th section. Now we move, and it is not very difficult to understand. So, what is the nature of this Atman, Brahman? Only few qualities are described here. Why are these qualities described? Because we want to know what type of Brahman we are going to identify ourselves with. That is what Ramanujacharya so brilliantly he calls it. Asesha Kalyana Guna Sagara. Bhagavan Narayana is Asesha Kalyana Guna Sagara. Sagara means ocean. Guna Sagara means he is the embodiment of most blissful qualities. That which only do good. There is no evil. There is no taint. And how many? Infinite. Like the ocean, infinite number of blessed qualities which help humanity, and some of them are being briefly mentioned here for contemplation on that Supreme Brahman which Satya Kamaja Bala is going to teach to his beloved disciple Upakosala. And also if we notice, the Satyakama, the teacher, Satyakama Jabala, perhaps has many other disciples. We don't know how many numbers, because when a person becomes a knower of Brahman, God himself directs to him who should go. Maybe many, many have come to him. But of all the persons, Satyakama Jabala, he retained only this one person so that he could pass on his own knowledge to a fit vehicle, fit instrument, like Sri Ramakrishna, before passing away. These are marvelous things we have to understand. So, Sri Ramakrishna was being pestered by Narendranath. I want to experience that samadhi, of which he had already glimpsed. By the touch of Sri Ramakrishna, this pot is Brahman, this mat is Brahman, and everything that I am seeing is Brahman. By the touch of blessed touch, the pure touch of Sri Ramakrishna, Narendranath actually experienced, but it had not become a permanent property of his own. But just a few days before passing away, he prayed so much, and I think it may be on a Shivaratri day or night or whatever, he obtained this one. And then Sri Ramakrishna, there's something most marvelous happened at that time. So just before passing away, one day Ramakrishna was talking with Narendranath. And by the way, towards the end of Sri Ramakrishna's life, Sri Ramakrishna was spending more and more time and alone, not even with the other would-be monk disciple, sannyasi disciple, only with Narendranath. And what they talked remains a sealed book. Nobody knows. Swamiji never opened his mouth, excepting once or twice, a little bit, letting out what had happened. So, Sri Ramakrishna was looking intently at Narendranath, and suddenly, both of them had entered into deep samadhi state. And after a long time, both of them came to consciousness. And Narendranath found Sri Ramakrishna was weeping with joy. Don't imagine, he was weeping with, oh, I have given away my everything. So Sri Ramakrishna was telling, oh Naren, today I have become a fakir by transmitting everything I obtained into you. I have become a fakir. So, fakir means what? All renouncing monk, keeping nothing, totally depending upon God. Why was Sri Ramakrishna weeping? If anybody construes it, oh, I have lost everything I have. I had no option. I had to give away. If anybody thinks like that, he must be one of the most ignorant person, and we can only, what you call, pity upon that person, not really understand him. But Sri Ramakrishna, what did he do? He became completely one with Narendra. So when Narendra opens thereafter his mouth, who will be speaking? Sri Ramakrishna. If Narendra was giving a talk, who will be talking? Sri Ramakrishna. That is why Swami Vivekananda used to say, I am HMV, his master's voice. I am just an instrument. Swamiji realized it. And there are concrete evidence, but which I will not go. I want to complete this story today. So, find out who is this Purusha behind the eye. Eye is not the seer or perceiver. Behind that eye, there is somebody lending its consciousness. And behind the mind, there is a perceiver. And that perceiver is pure consciousness, Brahman. So, he is called the eye of the eye, the ear of the ear, the mind of the mind, etc. The prana of the prana. That means these are all manifestations of Brahman only. Everything is the manifestation of Brahman. Naturally, after the knowledge of Brahman, whenever we see, whatever we see is nothing but Brahman. Sarvam Khalvidam Brahma. Now, in this second mantra, and let me first read it, etam sanyadvama ityachakshata, etam hi sarvani vamani avisanyanti, sarvani enam vamani avisanyanti ya evam veda. The knowers of Brahman call him as the center of blessings, for all blessings come together in him. So, when a person contemplates Brahman as the repository, Asesha Kalyana Guna Sagraha. Here that is what is said, that Vamani, Vamani means blessings. So, all is the repository, he is the embodiment, he is the very condensed form of every good anybody can desire. And what does anybody desire? Only three things. Let me be Sat. Let me know Chit. Let me be happiness. Sat, Chit, Ananda. And all blessings come only when a person is living, not with body. Body is, comes and goes. But here is a person as pure Brahman. I exist, I know, and I am of the nature of bliss. So, any person who contemplates, that is the purpose, you must contemplate now Brahman, not merely Akasha, Vayu, etc. Brahman is the very embodiment of all blessings. Vama means blessings. So, Sanyad Vama, the center. Sanyad means what? The center. Center means what? The very embodiment, the house, the storehouse of all blessings. And anybody who contemplates on Brahman is called Upasana. The word Upasana is very important. So he becomes one, like Sri Ramakrishna became Hanuman, Radhika, Kali, Krishna, Gopala, Shiva, everybody. Like that, Sarva, Deva, Devi, Sarupaya, Holy Mother also. Sarva, Deva, Devi, Sarupiniyai. So as the Brahman should be contemplated as the very storehouse of blessings. And whoever succeeds in identifying himself with Brahman, he himself becomes that house, that storehouse of all blessings. For all blessings come together in him. All blessings come together in him who knows or contemplates thus. So, therefore, this Brahman is to be meditated upon as the very storehouse of all blessings. And that is what we do again at the Vesper service, albeit we do not think much about it, maybe sometimes, but most often no. We just open our mouth and some sounds come out, but we don't stop to contemplate. Actually, here I want to tell you, why did Swami Vivekananda compose this first stotram called Avatara Stotram, Hymn to the Incarnation of God? there is no mention of Sri Ramakrishna, but it can be applied to every avatar. I did say Swami Vivekananda composed this poem so that after singing, when the restless mind and the way we sing and it is put together in a particular rhythm called Chautal, and Chautal slowly it is sung, and by the time the song is over, if we are paying even a little bit of attention, our mind becomes absolutely calm. After the singing vesper service is over, one is supposed to go find out a nook or a corner and sit and meditate. Meditate on what? On the mantra, on the chosen deity given by one's own guru. But how do we do that? See, just now you have sung, "Oh Ramakrishna, you are like this, you are like that," with all these qualities. And then there is one shloka there. Nirakhi tava kripaye. I see that you are God himself, not because of my superior understanding, but because of your pure grace. Nirakhi means I see, I perceive, I understand. Tava kripaye, by your grace. What a marvelous thing. And then we have second hymn, that accepting, surrendering oneself to Sri Ramakrishna, there is no other way. So that is why it is in the fourth line of this second stotram, tasmat tvameva sharanam mama dina bandhu. But when we come to the third hymn, which is to be addressed to the Holy Mother especially, because Sri Ramakrishna did it when he did puja of the Holy Mother on that Falaharini Kali Puja, very beginning, sarva mangala mangalye, sarva mangala mangalye. You mangalye, you are the very embodiment of mangala, means auspiciousness. Mangala mangalye, you are the origin, you are the manifester of every auspiciousness. And whatever happens in the life of a devotee, sarvam mangalam, everything is auspicious only. Outwardly, sometimes there may be difficulties, but Holy Mother herself clarified in what way misery, suffering is a gift of God. So, we have to, anybody who contemplates that Brahman is the center of all blessings, he himself will get identified with Brahman. That means he becomes what Sri Krishna calls and teaches to Arjuna, sthita prajnaha. He attains samadhi. Samadhi means complete one-ment with the supreme reality, and then he himself becomes the blessings because there is no him. It is only Brahman. Now we proceed to the third. Esha u eva vamanihi. Esha hi sarvani vamani nayati. Sarvani vamani nayati. Ya evam veda. He again, that is, this Upasaka who became one with Brahman is the vehicle of blessings. Because he has become Brahman, if he says, "I bless you," then you become less. Bless means what? To be less is called bless. Go on becoming less and still less and still less until nothing of you remains, only he remains. That is the true blessing. So, such a sadhaka, through contemplation, what does he become? He becomes the vehicle of blessings. We have seen in the second mantra, same thing, that whoever contemplates him, he will also, like Brahman, becomes a great bringer of every good, every blessing. So that is what is being said. He is the very vehicle of blessings. He is the carrier. That means we can also understand that if his body is alive, he is a Jivan Mukta. And if anybody contemplates him as such, he also receives the blessings. Recollect how Sri Ramakrishna blessed all his devotees by uplifting their minds on 1st January 1886. That's why we celebrate it as the day of Kalpataru, or wish fulfilling tree. He again is the vehicle of blessings, for he carries all blessings. Just like Brahman, this realizer of Atman also carries all blessings. And he who knows it thus carries all blessings. And he who knows, that means he who worships. Bhuti kamaha. Beautiful idea is there. You worship a jivan mukta. And you will become a jivan mukta. Because that jivan mukta is none other than Brahman, but visible to you. That is, that great upasaka, contemplator, lords it over and presents or carries to all living beings the results of their righteous deeds in due accordance with their piety in the shape of dharma and pertaining to the self. So, not only he becomes a source, a storehouse of blessings, he becomes a very vehicle that is like our mobile library. If somebody cannot go to the library, this person can stay at home. And from the library, a chosen number of books will be there. And we can also, one can also phone and say, I would like such and such a book. And if such and such an author has written many books, even that particular book is not available, some other book can be brought. So, he himself becomes a storehouse of blessings. So, this third mantra says, he becomes a vehicle of all the blessings, which more or less means the same. Fourth mantra, eshavu eva bhamanihi, eshahi sarveshu lokeshu bhati, sarveshu lokeshu bhati, ya evam veda. He again is the bringer or vehicle of light, for he shines in all the regions. He who knows it thus shines in all the regions. Beautiful word, light used to come out of Sri Ramakrishna's body, Holy Mother's body, Swami Vivekananda's body. People, they cannot see because they don't have eyes, but they are attracted like a huge magnet. When a small magnet is near a bigger magnet, how it will be attracted even without any effort? Like that, these people, Brahma Tejas, the splendor, the light of Brahman shines, but it is not a physical light. It is a purifying light. That is what we understand. So, Bha means what is called light. That is why our India is called Bharata. Bha, that is light, full of light. That place, that country, which is immersed in light. What light? The light of the Vedas. The light of the saints. Every other country is also so. But especially India, because there is nothing like the number of the scriptures, the saints, innumerable saints in every part of India. There is no comparison. I don't think I'm exaggerating. That is the truth about India. So, this person is a lighthouse, not only a house storehouse of blessing, but a lighthouse. He brings light to everything. Oh, this happened to you. That is for your good. And he can sometimes tell, it is very good. So, whatever he speaks, brings light. And in his light, we can understand the scriptures much, much better. That is the meaning of this one. So, whoever contemplates on the contemplator of Brahman also shines in every region because he has become one with the entire creation. And he who knows it thus also obtains the same result. He himself shines. If a person imparts the knowledge of Brahman, the person who is imparted through identification, he becomes Brahman. His disciple also becomes Brahman. This is true Guru Parampara. That is to say, Brahman cannot directly be contemplated, but through these qualities, one should contemplate. Then comes the final result. What happens to these people when such upasakas, contemplators, pass away? That is being said here. In this fifth mantra, the last mantra, in this 15th section, and with this, the story of Upakosala also comes to an end. Atha yat ucha eva asmin shavyam kurvanti yadicha na archisham eva avisambhavanti. Archisho ahaha ahnaha apuryamana paksham apuryamana pakshat yan shat masan udam eti masan tan masebhyah samvatsaram samvatsarat adityam ఆదిత్యాత్ చంద్రమసం చంద్రమసః విద్యుతం తత్పురుషో అమానవః స ఏనాన్ బ్రహ్మగమయతి ఏష దేవపథో బ్రహ్మపథ ఏతేన ప్రతిపద్యమానాః ఇమం మానవం ఆవర్తం న అవర్తంతే న అవర్తంతే. దిస్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ ఎ ప్యూర్ డిస్క్రిప్షన్ ఆఫ్ క్రమముక్తి. సో వాట్ హ్యాపెన్స్ టు ది కంటెంప్లేటర్స్ ఉపాసక? సో ఇఫ్ హీ డజంట్ గెట్ దట్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఈవెన్ వైల్ లివింగ్, బట్ హీ విల్ నాట్ కమ్ బ్యాక్ టు దిస్ అర్త్ అగైన్. వాట్ హ్యాపెన్స్ ఆఫ్టర్ హీస్ పాసింగ్ అవే? హీ విల్ బి టేకెన్ బై ది వెరీ గాడ్స్ ప్రిసైడింగ్ డేటీస్ ఫ్రమ్ వన్ లోయర్ రీజియన్ టు ఎ హయ్యర్ రీజియన్ అంటిల్ హీ అటైన్స్ ది సుప్రీం రియాలిటీ కాల్డ్ బ్రహ్మన్. అండ్ దట్ ఈస్ బీయింగ్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ హియర్. నౌ ఐ విల్ జస్ట్ రీడ్ అవుట్ అండ్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్ ఇట్. దిస్ ఇస్ ది ఇంగ్లీష్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్. We have to understand. Now, whether or not the disciples or relatives of this Brahman contemplator perform the funeral rites for such a person, whether they perform or not, he goes to light, from light to day, from day to the bright half of the moon, from the bright half of the moon to the 6 months during which the sun goes to the north, from those months to the year, from the ear to the sun, from the sun to the moon, from the moon to lightning. When a sadhaka reaches this world of lightning, there a person who is not a human being, a non-human being, a divine being, meets him and leads him to Brahman. And this gradual ascendance, finally merging in Brahman, it is called Shuklagati, the path of the gods, Devayana, through which the divine is attained finally, the path leading to Brahman. Those who travel by it do not return to the well of humanity. Yeah, they do not return. Only one point I made. This upasaka, he has become as good as sannyasi. Just as a sannyasi's funeral rites are not performed, so also this person who had attained to that highest stage, whether they perform, they don't perform, it makes no difference, because he had evolved to such a high state. So what happens? As soon as the body falls off, what happens? So he goes to light. Here we have to understand, light, day, bright half of the moon, as higher and higher stages of pure consciousness. Don't understand, there are some worlds like America or Australia or Sweden, where happily people live, they say stupidity can go no further. These are like, in a way, like from a, what is called, lower three chakras to Anahata chakra, then Vishuddha chakra, then to Agna chakra, then to Sahasrara. This is a description. Many times we get it in the Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita also, Shukla Gati, Krishna Gati, the bright path and the dark path. Swami Vivekananda wanted to comment upon this and he said, I myself do not understand what it means, but I am sure he understands. What I understand is that these are not worlds, but these are higher stages of consciousness. From a limited consciousness, the sadhaka, the spiritual practitioner, is attaining to higher and higher, and then when he reaches the very verge, last, then somebody who is not a human being, that means Brahman himself, conducts him to himself. That is what it means. So what happens thereafter? This is called the Devayana. Devayana means the path of the gods. The path of the gods means gradual way a person slowly transcending step after step becomes one with Brahman. And then what happened? Those who travel by it do not return to this whirl of humanity. That means they will not fall into the world of Maya. Yeah, they do not return. That means they have become permanently, completely Mukta Purushas. And that will be attained in much better manner, easier manner, simplest manner, by coming and somehow not moving from Varanasi, and they will die. With this the teaching of Satyakama Chabala to his beloved disciple Upakosala is over. So we presume Upakosala attained, like his teacher Brahman, whether Upakosala himself had passed on this knowledge, that is another story. But with this, the 15th section of the 4th chapter, wherein we get beautiful stories of the Satyakama Chabala, and we also saw Janashruti, etc., beautiful stories. With this, some of the stories are for now over. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagat Gurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.